This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Hi everyone, welcome to season 4 of the behind the scenes podcast Soap from the Box. I'm Lee Salisbury, television director and producer, and now podcaster, and we are back bigger and better. Not only talking to the actors who play your favourite characters in EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Hollyoaks, Home and Away, and Neighbours, which is also back, but also extra special pop from the box music guests and some huge TV and film specials. And don't just listen anywhere. To be a VIP, you need to listen on the Another Slice podcast player. It's free to sign up to, and you'll get to hear exclusive audio and video clips you won't get anywhere else. And all the latest news from us directly will land in your inbox. And seeing as it's launch week of season 4 this week, you get to hear an unedited, extended version of this episode for free over on Another Slice. And that's not all. You get an extra special episode with EastEnders, I'm a Celebrity, and social media megastar Jacqueline Josser.
That was the nicest intro I've ever had in my life.
It's free to listen to as well. You just need to head to anotherslice.com/soapfromthebox and sign up with us. It's going to be a huge year, and we want you to be a VIP on the ride with us. You can also choose to subscribe, and for a couple of quid, you get even more special content, including the chance to ask your questions to the stars and exclusive special episodes that will be for your ears only. You'll also be able to hear episodes before anyone else. So what are you waiting for? Head to anotherslice.com/soapfromthebox. Right now, come on, let's get going. This show has been a number one hit worldwide for Netflix, and I was lucky enough to get a little gang together for the launch of season 4. Soap from the Box season 4, here we go. Welcome aboard. We are starting the series with something very special. It's been a huge hit on Netflix, released on New Year's Day in the UK when hibernation took hold. And it's proudly taken its place in the top 10 of over 90 countries and was one of the main global conversations in the first week of its release. Standing it apart is the fact that it's structured in a non-linear order, which basically means you can choose to watch the color coordinated episodes in whatever order you like. Enter the crime at a different point, work out how they planned it, got away with it, and who betrays who. Inspired by true events spanning 25 years and starring one of the best cast ensembles I have seen for a long time, it is time, I'm so excited to welcome, creator and stars of the huge original heist hit, try saying that after a gin and tonic, of Kaleidoscope. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, we can all hear hellos. I'm going to introduce who I've got with me here. So I'm going to introduce this, and basically I'm going to introduce you all, and you have to do a quick icebreaker either or. So I'll do it one by one, and you have to pick one or the other. So first of all, Eric Garcia, the creator and showrunner. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
So your icebreakers are, here we go, salty or sweet?
Oh, salty.
Sun or snow?
Oh, sun. These are easy.
They get harder. Good or bad?
That is harder.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, bad's more interesting. I'm so good, but bad's more interesting.
Okay. Timberlake or Bieber?
Timberlake.
All the way. Adele or Beyonce?
Adele.
Okay. We're getting to know Eric.
No, Beyonce. I'm going back. Beyonce.
Okay. And the final one. I mean, this is the one that, you know, really hard. Speedos or shorts?
See, this is a podcast, so you don't understand how great I would look in speedos, but I'm going to say short.
Right. See, we've got to know you so well now, Eric. Okay, let's move on. Our cast with us are Rosalind Rose Elbe, who plays Judy Goodwin. Hello, Rose.
Hi, Lee.
How are you? Right, it's your turn. Are you ready?
I'm terrified. Salt, okay, let's
salt, go. Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Sun or snow?
Sun.
I know, who would say snow? But, well, I mean, maybe one of you would. We've got more
sometimes
people.
Sometimes I would say snow at the moment. In the winter, I wouldn't say snow. In the summer, I'd say sun.
I would definitely say so. Yeah, good or bad?
I think I agree with Eric. Bad is more interesting, even
so
though
is, so
boring
is.
Good, yeah.
Timberlake or Bieber?
No, see, that's not, you can't do that.
I think it depends on your age, doesn't it? I think.
It does, but also in light of some behaviours, maybe recently Bieber? I don't know.
Okay, all right. Oh, controversial.
No, is Timberlake bad? Sorry, this is Eric checking in. Did I say Timberlake and I've walked into something already in like minutes?
Well, I'm worried because I don't know anything about this.
No, I think we're just salty about the whole Super Bowl thing.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Okay, nothing that we need to cut out of the podcast now. Okay, that's good. Adele or Beyonce?
Just kicked off the thing.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce, okay, we lost you there. Okay, and you don't get speeders and shorts, you get heels or flats?
Oh, flats, always flats.
Always, okay, brilliant. Okay, next up is Peter Mark Kendall, who plays Stan Loomis. Hello, Peter.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, mate. So this is obviously getting to know you both, so well. Salty or sweet, mate?
Salty.
Salty. Sun or snow?
Sun.
Good or bad?
A little bit of both, I think.
Okay, I can see why you all got on, do you know what I mean? I can see why we make a good ensemble cast here. Timberlake or Bieber?
Knowing nothing of what Rose is talking about, I'd say Timberlake.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I don't know whether Rose has made this up, but anyway. Adele or Beyonce?
Beyonce.
Beyonce
for sure.
All the way. And, I mean, you can choose. You can have heels or flats or speedos or shorts, whichever one you want.
Well, I wouldn't want to see a speedo on myself, but, you know. Some people can rock it. I can't, so short.
We'll go with shorts. Okay, brilliant. And finally, Bubba Wyler is here, who played Samuel Toby. Hello, mate.
Hi.
Okay, you're the final one. You've had time to think of your answers, so it's kind of cheating in a way. But right. Here we go. Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Sun or snow?
Sun.
Good or bad? Oof.
Good.
Oh, yeah, okay. Took him a while to think of it, so I'm not too sure. Timberlake or Bieber?
Timberlake. My first CD I ever owned was NSYNC, No Strings Attached. So
that
it's got to be...
That's such a good album.
Right.
Such an amazing album. Adele or Beyonce?
Beyonce.
Beyonce. And speedos or shorts?
Got to be shorts.
Okay. Oh, you thought about that as well. It was almost a speedo's answer there. Well, brilliant. Thank you all for coming on to Soap the Box. It's amazing to have you on the podcast. So let's start, Eric. Let's start with you, the creator and showrunner. You've written amazing stuff like Matchstick Men, which was made into a movie, directed by a little-known director called Ridley Scott, Anonymous Rex series adapted for the Sci-Fi Channel. What made you come up with Kaleidoscope?
It was a structural thing first. I found an email from 2013 that I wrote to a director friend of mine who directed another one of my movies, and I was kind of thinking about batch delivery. You know, in 2013 it was really Netflix. I don't know if anybody else was streaming then, but I basically said I don't see a reason why we have to watch things in order if they're just given to us all at once. I think there's a way to do a show that can get to the idea of character and how you get to know a character, how you get to know a plot that's centered around a central event. And the thing I likened it to was when you meet somebody, you don't say, "Hi, my name is Eric Garcia. I was born on September 28th, 1972. In my first hour, I had some breast milk." But, you know, you don't do that. You learn stories about somebody and eventually, holistically, you get to know them as a person. And I thought there was a potentially interesting way to do that as a show. So yeah, it was structural first and then slowly built it out, you know, as one does with stories.
And it's amazing because when you watch it, I mean, I watched it in the order that it's in, and then you kind of think of watching it in a different order. I mean, the stats are mad, actually. So for anyone wanting to play by the rules and save the white episode for last, apparently there's 5,040 possible combinations to watch the show. And for the rule breakers who throw the finale into the mix, there's a mind-boggling 40,320 ways to watch it. That's incredible. So, I mean, you must, the attention to detail must have been insane to get it right that you could watch it like that.
Yeah, you know, we had to sort of let go of a lot of writer tricks that we use, right? That anybody uses to sort of build tension throughout a season, and reveal different parts of character throughout a season, knowing that there was no such thing as just setup, reveal, setup, punchline, right? So one of the things we did, I got together a really great, really smart writer's room, and we set up some rules for ourselves. And one of them was to treat each episode as a pilot and look at each episode as, if someone watched this episode, what do they believe the show is about, right? So if they watch Green first, like Peter did, they believe the show is about people, you know, who have their lives in a prison, a guy who escapes from a prison and has to figure out what to do with his life when he sees his daughter. If you watch Orange first, you think this show is about an obsessed FBI agent who's doggedly trying to find these people who are going to plan a heist. So depending on where you come in, that's what it was. Similarly, we had to do what we called siloing information, where we would not give the same info in different episodes so that nobody got bored. You don't want to do the bit where people are like, well, I've seen this bit.
Yeah.
There were a lot of rules like that we set up, and ways that we could make sure that every episode had at least one question and one answer that was either answered or asked in another episode. So there were always surprises no matter what direction you went in.
And it's quite nice, as I've been planning this podcast, actually thinking of the different colors and who I'm going to ask questions to. There are episodes that feature characters really heavily, which I love. You get to know all of the characters, you know, a lot more in different episodes. So it's a nice slow build for, you know, whichever order you watch.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you can even look at the ones of everybody we have here. You know, I think Green very much is a Peter, as a Stan episode. Yellow.
Thank God you've said that, because that's what I'm doing.
and Toby and Nizan are really Orange, and pretty heavily also in Red and Pink. So yeah, I mean, I think it's we tried to do that throughout, again, to sort of get to the ensemble nature and to look at characters. I also have a theory that, depending on the one you watch first, that becomes, in some sense, the protagonist. Obviously, Leo rides above it all. It's his revenge story. But still, I think if you watch Green first, you are tracking Stan throughout the show.
Totally. And when you pitched it, I saw your post on Instagram, actually, which is great. You actually took colored cards into the channels, didn't you, to the streamers?
Yep. We played the game, essentially. I would have them choose one, and I'd pitch the episode, and then I'd go choose the next one. And we would do that for however long it took, which is about an hour. And at the end, fortunately, they would all say, oh, my God, that worked. And they'd say, did you rig it? I was like, I did not rig it. And then I realized afterwards, shit, I could have rigged it. but I at least proved the concept to me as well. So
yeah. And I mean, as I said, one of the best ensembles I've seen in for ages and anything. Were you quite hands on choosing this lot who we're talking to, the whole cast? Were you hands on in the choice of cast?
Yeah, they're all my fault. I am ridiculously fortunate, and I know everybody, you know, sounds like they say that, but I think fortunately one of the great things about this has been, with everybody watching it and all the great kudos people have for the show, the very first thing they say to me is, Jesus, what a cast.
Yeah.
And I'm so not proud of them, because they're not my children. But like, I knew how good they would be just from watching their auditions, and not just as actors, just the facility that they all have, to just dig in deep. And I'll let them talk about their process. I won't give their secrets away, but, they're ridiculously good. And I don't think I knew like, oh, these guys are great. Like, I'm excited to have them. None of us knew how good they would be until we really saw it come to life. So,
well, there we go. And let's get to Peter. What an introduction to Peter. So Peter, who does play, obviously, Stan in the show. Peter, I'm going to start, actually, you've done so much, just to give anyone at home listening an idea of what else you've done. And I'm actually going to test you a bit to see, I do this on the podcast, and a lot of actors don't remember anything of what they've done. So I'm going to pick a couple of shows you've done that people will know you from. Girls, who did you play in Girls, Peter?
Oh gosh, and Lena Dunham's character goes to the Iowa Writing Workshop, the MFA program for writing. I am one of her grad school classmates, who is kind of like an ornery frat brother.
and he is called Jeffrey. He's Jeffrey. You're Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
The Americans, Jeffrey. One of the big series everyone knows you for. Do you remember who you played in The Americans?
I played Hans.
There we go. Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, there's so many actors who don't remember the last role they played. I think it's one of those jobs, isn't it, where you remember everything for the time you're in it. Exactly. Chicago Med as well. You did loads of that. Who did you play in that?
Joey. I can't remember his last name, but Joey something.
You're good at this. And I mean, you've been in so much more. Gotham, The Good Fight. Oh my God, one of my favorite shows. And you've got one of my favorite lines in one of my favorite films from last year. I didn't realize you went back and watched this just to see you. You played Simon in Top Gun Maverick and you had a killer line. You had the killer line. What was your killer line?
My killer line was, put that in your Pentagon budget.
Yes. One of the best scenes. That must have been an amazing experience doing Top Gun.
It was amazing. It was just like, you know, being around all of those people and sharing a scene with Ed Harris, who I just admire so much, and getting to work with Tom Cruise, and it was one of those moments where you're on an actual Air Force base shooting a remake of Top Gun, and you're like, holy shit, how did I get
what here? Am I doing? And the pressure as an actor, I always think if you've got like one line, the pressure is actually greater sometimes than having a lead part, because how you play that line is so vital.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember the one day, it was just a long, long day, and I had to say a whole bunch of scientific jargon that I barely understood what it meant, and it was just so tired, and I just could not get this one line, and I just felt so stupid, because it's like every actor's worst nightmare, that everyone's just waiting for you to get the take, and then, you know, finally you do, but then you just spend the next 3 years in therapy talking about, God, how did I fuck that up?
I know. Well, let's move to the Green episode. As we said, thank God I was asking you about this. This is the one I watched first. Totally fell in love with the character of Stan. I mean, we joined them in the prison, obviously. Did you film all of the prison stuff at kind of the same? Did you kind of do the prison, then the FBI? Did you do it all at the same time?
We were out in Staten Island it wasn't an active prison, but it used to be a prison. I think a lot of TV stuff is shot there. I think like things like Orange is the New Black, you know, and things like that shot there. But Eric, right? How many days were we out there? Do you remember?
Yeah, we were in the prison for 2.5 weeks. We were there.
Oh, okay. A long time. Yeah. And you had, I mean, your stuff was great in there. I mean, you had probably the first really gruesome scene with a rolling pin. and the character himself was kind of running scams left to right and center. It was kind of a really good intro to Stan, wasn't it?
Yeah, you get to see him in his element and kind of him wheeling and dealing and kind of, like you say, in his element. And you get to see the kind of genesis of this kind of beautiful and heartbreaking relationship between him and Leo, and then is so much beautiful exposition between him and Judy. But it never, I think what Eric and the writers do so brilliantly, it's like it never really feels like exposition. It just feels like you're watching this 1 hour movie that feels like it has a beginning, middle, and end, but still allows for the possibility of more story to happen.
It does. I mean, your relationship with Leo, who is played obviously by the brilliant Giancarlo, I mean, that lasts the entire series, obviously, and it goes through many different levels. It must have been, he's an amazing, phenomenal actor as well, obviously. It must have been a great process to be with together working on that relationship.
Yeah, you know, I think at first you kind of pinch yourself because I was like, oh, you can't fanboy all over this guy, and because we actually have to work together and share a frame together, but once I kind of forced myself to quickly get over that, and he's just such a great leader on set, and such like a, I kept saying to him, I said to him a couple of times, you know, I went to drama school, but I still feel as we're working together that I'm learning so much for you. So I was so grateful for that time being able to act with him.
Well, I think, I mean, I'm talking to so many actors on this podcast, and Sue Johnson is a massive actor in the UK, like huge in her own right. And she worked with Maggie Smith on Downton Abbey. And she said, and I think this is, I've learned this about most actors, that every actor thinks they're going to be found out at any second and they're not supposed to be there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like the imposter syndrome is real, and I kind of don't trust people who don't have that, because I'm like, what's going on that you are so confident in yourself? I mean, I wish I had that. I didn't have that kind of nagging voice of, but it's something I think that we all work on and get better, hopefully,
Yeah, and
as
I think
we
that's what makes good
become
actors
wiser
as
and more
well.
confident.
Yeah, because everyone always feels they're on a learning curve, which is amazing. And then obviously you said we'll get to Rose in a bit, but we introduce Stan and Judy together, which is a great chemistry as well. And then it's thrown up in the air when Bob appears, obviously. That relationship between you three is so brilliant as well. And another little Easter egg I missed was Stan starting to wear an earring after this episode, slowly begin. That was kind of a little thing thrown in as well.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's just like such a brilliant thing that the show does, that it rides so many different tones, right? Like it could be super serious and then kind of have humor and something silly, like, him trying to posture and kind of pose as
Yeah,
something that
which
he
would
might not
really
be,
annoy
right?
Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Or
But I'll
like
tell
make
you
himself more attractive to Judy somehow,
the. Yeah. Go on, Eric.
The earring thing actually was in the writer's room, and Josh Stoddard and Evan Endicott, who wrote the Green episode, were the ones who pitched it to me. And I just started laughing. And they said, let's do that in green. And then in yellow, he shows up when he goes to see Judy. And I just started laughing. I'm like, that is so ridiculous and great as a character. And usually when I laugh like that at something, it ends up in the show, even. And
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
in Red, he gets that ear shot off. And part of the concept, is this notion of like Stan's not a criminal, right? I mean, he's this guy who got himself in over his head. He's a good dude. And it's sort of, you're going to put the earring on, you're going to try to play Bob. Bob stuff's going to happen. So anyway, sorry, not to interrupt, but I loved when Josh and Evan pitched me that. And I love when stuff that specifically comes up, little character stuff like that, ends up finally in the show. It's
And
just
that
exciting.
sparring is so good with those. I mean, I love the sparring between Bob and Stan. It's absolutely brilliant. That relationship, there's so many great relationships in it. And quickly, actually, Eric, talking about filming, say, all the prison stuff at once, and I know the prison stuff was a lot in the Green episode anyway, but obviously I noticed straight away the colors in the episodes and the props were more lent towards the colors, which is obviously amazing as well. But that must have been, in a way, quite hard to keep track of if you're filming episodes here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, look, we had an amazing HOD's production design, Michael Brecker, who I think is just fantastic. All Jenny Gehring, who did our costumes, Max Sherwood did our props. Everybody also threw down with this. And so everybody's department was really good at keeping track of what was what. And then similarly, we had good ADs. And then we were just as on it as we could be. I'd be remiss if I did not mention Sarah Rennert, who worked with me on this on set, and was also Eagle Eye. And we would find things and we go, wait, if we do that here, it's gonna mess up this other episode, or
Right,
hang on, we
yeah.
have
Oh my God, that's a script supervisor's nightmare, this show, isn't it? Oh no.
yeah, no, that was, and they were, that's most of the scripties had to worry about the things they usually worry about, which is making sure there's continuity between shots. We could not really rely on them, and I don't say rely on them in a bad way, but we couldn't force them to be the arbiters of the entire show.
Yeah,
That sort of
yeah.
fell to us and the actors as well, because they also knew these things or remember these things. When you get to Rose, ask her about the hot sauces.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Well, we're getting on to now. You've just linked me to Rose perfectly. We'll come back to Peter, obviously, and all of you in a bit. But Rose, we'll move on to you with the yellow episode. Like Peter, I'm going to test you a little bit about some of the things you've done and who did you play in them. As I said, no one ever remembers. Right, I've got the whole list here, but I'm just going to pick. I've gone for stage with you. 2013.
Oh, God.
2013, you were in Twelfth Night. Who did you play in Twelfth Night?
Olivia.
Oh, there we go. What else? I'm trying to think of really. In 2012, the picture of Dorian Gray.
Sybil Vane.
Yes. Wow. And the surname. You're brilliant. I'm going to go back even further in time. In 2010, an ideal husband.
Oh, what's her name? Oh, no.
yes, I've caught you.
Oh, wait. Mabel.
Yes. Oh, you're really good. Oh, God, you're so good at this. And obviously, at the end of last year, you're in Dodie Diana with Mr. Peter himself playing Samira, weren't you?
True. Yeah, we did a little play together.
How was that reuniting?
It was really fun, actually. It was really, Peter and I had this really happy accident where we just kind of, I don't think we stopped working together until like October of this year, because we just kept doing little projects together after Kaleidoscope. And it was actually very nice. I mean, poor Stan, and the things I had to sort of do to Stan as Judy and Kaleidoscope, it was really nice kind of doing
to be nice.
I wasn't exactly nice to him, but at least he got to give as good as he got.
I know, because I mean, what a character Judy is. Quickly about you, though. You were born in Cairo. Everyone listening can notice the English accent because you read classics and archaeology at Oxford University.
I did do that.
Yeah, and then you studied at the Actors Studio in New York. It's like you've lived a dream here before even starting work.
I think I'm very grateful, especially recently, just like the number of times I'd call up my parents and be like, so change of plan. Like, all right. but yeah, I did. I got to spend a really great year here in 2013 and 2014 before going back to drama school in London, which was like, it was really, I think that I never really fell out of love with New York after doing that. So it's nice to be back, and to have shot this show here was such a nice gift.
Well, as we said, Judy is such an immense character. I mean, and I think the yellow episode, we really get to know her. We certainly get to know the relationship between her and Bob, which is very intense. I mean, I love the scene where you get him to step forward and say, I'm a fucking moron. You get to wear a wig. I mean, what an amazing scene that is.
I will say, like, one of the tragedies of this job is that I don't think I'm ever going to get the chance to wear that many wigs and blow that many those many things up again.
I will keep putting you in wigs.
The wigs were great.
He's now said that officially, and you've
Heard that. That's on a podcast now. And also that scene, though, what I loved about that is when we got more into Bob and Judy is the fact that actually she was, you know, he was very, you know, quite controlling of her, wasn't he? So it was amazing in that moment. She kind of totally was able to take the reins.
Yeah, I think it was an interesting relationship to have to sort of chart in the moments that we got to spend with them. Because I think, I don't know how much we can spoil, but it's not really until the White episode, I think, that Judy really understands that she isn't in control.
Yeah.
And that these small pieces of control that she gives herself in that relationship are not enough, and how dangerous this person actually is, and also who she would have to become to stay in that relationship. So I think up until that point, and we're all kind of guilty of it, I think we can give ourselves more agency in a situation because we all give ourselves the illusion of agency because we love someone.
Yeah. And I suppose a lot of people have been, you know, everyone's kind of vying for her to be with Stan, but often in life you choose the wrong one. Do you know what I mean?
You do. And also Stan went to prison.
No, I know. Stan's not the best guy, but I mean, he's better than Bob.
It actually was alone on the outside. No, and I think it is very, I mean, we all delved very deeply into the backstories of these people and why they make the choices they do. And there were really great helpful hints that the writers had left us in the text. And with Judy, it was her father. Just a little, I think it's just a little throwaway line in the show, but it became the basis for sort of her really not feeling like she maybe deserves a stan.
And also, I suppose she's quite horrible to him in the green episode, really, isn't she? You know, she's not, you know, she's leading him on a bit.
I don't think she's leading him on. I think that's a really cool read of Judy. I think she's just overwhelmed. I think they're quite young in green. And also, I think Stan does mention it at one point that they haven't actually been together very long.
No, oh no, and he wants to marry her. I mean,
he wants to marry her. I think it's perfectly understandable that she's overwhelmed by that, but she's still, you know, she's visiting him in prison. She's helping him smuggle stuff in. She's trying to take care of him.
Then, true. Okay, all right. I'll give Judy that. And also in this episode, obviously it's the seed heist where they need to get money for the big heist. Again, a massive setup, another wig as well. Brilliant wig again. Where did you film that? I mean, that was a big sequence.
Yeah, that was Diamond Way. That was really special, actually, getting to sort of...
So you actually did it on Diamond Way?
Yeah. We had, the first day we filmed there, it was two or three consecutive weekends, and my trailer was parked right in front of Radio City. And it's one of those moments where you kind of step outside, like, this isn't real life, right? Like, it's that thing you just said about someone's going to find me out any minute. Someone's going to, like, turn up to set and be like, no, absolutely not. You do not belong here. Go home. And it was very special getting to film it actually there. I think there were only a couple of, like, specific inserts to do with things like, you know, it wasn't recommended that we run around Diamond Way with guns.
No, because you may be shot.
So I think there were a couple of sequences that were filmed at the Netflix studios where they recreated sort of little, like, pockets of Diamond Way, and it was disconcertingly accurate, like down to sort of like cracks on the pavement and like bits of gum stuck to carts. It was wild. But besides that, yeah, it was all on the actual street, which is great.
How incredible. Okay, well, we'll move on to the blue episode. I'm going to get you all involved in this one. The synopsis on Netflix for this episode is: the team sets their intricate plan into motion amid news of a hurricane approaching the city. A paranoid Roger deals with a threat. The FBI gets a tip. For me, this episode was kind of shows loads of how the heist will work and also the bonding and the non-bonding between the heist team. And Peter, I think your glasses by this stage are becoming like a main cast member of the show as well.
My glasses, yeah. I'm very, very proud of those glasses. I'm like, you know,
they took on a life of their own, basically.
I love the journey. I'm hoping for an Emmy just for the glasses.
Just for the glasses. You know? Yeah, there was a lot of
pressure. They did a lot of work
to coach the glasses as well. So all of you, I'm going to ask you a few questions. So how, I mean, Bubba, I'll ask you, as a cast, we all know, I mean, you know, you can lie, but I think it's quite obvious you all got on really well. I mean, was it a good, were you all away together for quite a long time filming this?
Yeah, we filmed almost 6 months, right, Eric?
Wow.
10 months.
Early September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April.
Yeah, it was so good for Bubba that he's like, it went like a flash.
It went by like that, yeah. it was great. It was more than any project I've ever worked on, I think. Just really, really felt like a family. We spent way more time together than we probably should have. We'd get done with the shooting and we'd hang out all night or all morning, depending on if we were doing a night shoot or a day shoot.
If night shoots, and there must have been a lot of night shoots. That's the thing with night shoots. It's great when you're all away together, though. Also, though, I've looked on quite a few social media posts, and apparently it was very cold when you're filming, Rose.
Yeah, Rose went blue. It was the first couple episodes, because the first ones we filmed were the hurricane ones. We were just like damp, just various levels of damp for about 6 weeks.
Oh.
And then there was the cheat, like filming in New York winter, but cheating it for like, it's a spring day. And yeah, I'm Egyptian. I need to come to terms with the fact that like I wasn't built for this kind of weather. There's nothing that will make you feel more like an immigrant than realizing that like the weather.
No, and that's what actors out there need to realize listening. I mean, I've worked on the soaps over here. We like Emmerdale, which is in the Yorkshire countryside, and you film it like 3 months in advance. So all the girls playing saucy characters are like in miniskirts and it's like October. And we're all in like North Faces and they're pretending it's the middle of summer.
Exactly. You understand.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. So, Peter, who would you say is the biggest joker on set?
Oh, my goodness.
Is there someone who constantly would make you laugh or try to make you laugh? Was there anyone like that on set?
It was just all of us kind of fucking around the entire time, you know, between takes. You know, Rose and Jai Courtney and I had a lot of scenes together, and then Paz and Giancarlo. I just wish I had more stuff to do with Bubba. I don't think that we actually shared it.
We never got to interact with the FBI.
No,
I know.
Yeah.
That was a big bummer. But like, it was the kind of job where you look forward to going to work every day, even if you're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and because you know that you know the crew, the cast, everybody is just working through some really, really tough circumstances. You know, whether it's making a show during COVID or the weather, or us being trapped in a vault that is
in a vault with water,
with water, but just the levity and the kind of the good nature that everybody had. It was just so much fucking fun.
Eric.
Oh no, I was going to say it's interesting because Bubba, you and Noosh were really, at least acting wise, on an island. It was the two of you and Rufus sometimes, right?
Yeah, a little bit of Tati and Rufus. Pause a little bit, but yeah, it's true. We were fairly isolated.
So became friends. That's what's so cool.
Yeah, right. But you must have felt, you know, like at school, I remember choosing some subjects and wishing I'd chosen another subject because all of them were there. Did you feel a bit, Bubba, out there on you two? You were like, oh no, we want to be with the bad gang. We want to be with the heist team.
Oh, for sure. When Rose is blowing stuff up and Peter's getting to do like, like be in disguise and stuff. Like, yeah, I want to do that. Of course. Next time, Eric.
Next time. And this was, I mean, the blue episode actually was where I got to see you first. This was the first appearance of, because your character, let's get this straight as well, because your character is called Samuel Toby, but you're called Toby throughout the whole thing, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Samuel just is, what's gone on with, did you not like Samuel, Eric? Or was that, was that a choice?
You know, we called him Toby in the writer's room. I don't remember how it happened, but we just ended up calling him Sweet, Sweet Toby.
Oh, right. Okay. Aww.
Because he's a Boy Scout. And that's the great thing is he has this internal code and I'll let you talk about it, Bubba. But yeah, to me, it was just Toby.
Yeah, because your relationship, like we said with Noosh, I mean, it's an amazing relationship. I was quite taken at first when I realized that he was really into her as well. And it's this weird thing because she plays by the rules. Obviously, her backstory, I think, is incredible. And her story throughout the journey is incredible. But your character seems just totally in awe of her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, his love of Nizan is the guiding light for everything for him. And it causes him to make a lot of mistakes and do things that he wouldn't normally do. Go ahead, Peter.
I was just going to say one of my favorite lines of the entire series is one of yours when you're looking at her and you're like, well, I'm never going to say no to you. You get that, right?
I know. That is a good moment.
That's good. You know, don't try not to ruin my life, you know? But yeah, both of them are people that would normally play by the books, but they both have this obsession.
Yeah.
And his obsession is for her.
And what's it like? I mean, you know, it's a kid's dream to be in the FBI, isn't it? So it must be quite cool going to work and putting on that jacket. Full stop.
It was really cool. We got to do FBI training the first day.
I was going to say, to learn how to walk around the corner with a gun and stuff.
We went to a shooting range and we got to shoot guns. And do tactical drills, like clearing out a room and having like dummies pop out at us and stuff. It was really fun. It was a little scary, but it was super fun.
That's amazing. So now you know how to properly look like an FBI agent if we ever need you.
And we did. We would fool some people. We were meant to take the jackets off anytime we were not on set, so that we wouldn't so no one would confuse us for actual FBI agents. But one time, Nusha and I forgot, and we were walking into our hotel that we were being held at, and it was a night shoot, so it was like 3 or 4 in the morning, and these college kids who were high out of their minds.
Oh no!
Were right into these two FBI agents, and we really, really scared them.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I worked on a show once where we recreated crimes, and the guy playing the baddie who had just robbed a jewelry store ran around the corner and got punched in the face.
Oh,
someone
God.
Thought he was actually robbing the jewelry store. I know.
Wow.
God, it's quite. I know that.
As Rose pointed out, that's why we were not allowed to have guns on Diamond Way.
Yes.
The life of Jai Courtney for future.
Yeah. So let's get to the Violet episode.
Let me just say one more thing about Bubba, which is when I watched the show down with my family, I waited to show my family until it was all done, until it was on Netflix January 1st, and we watched it. And, you know, they had seen Peter and stuff, and they had seen Rose and stuff, but they had never seen Bubba in anything. And we watched the show, and their takeaway was, holy shit, Bubba. My family is, we're a theatrical bunch. My kids act and write, and they knew Bubba a little bit, but not, they hadn't seen him before. And this was the first time, and they were just, as were we all, I think, just
blown away
with that character. So anyway,
blown away. And I'm going to get back. I am coming back to you, Bubba, because you're not escaping the test of what you've been in, but we'll quickly talk about the Violet episode, because otherwise we'll be here for hours. But I'm going to talk to you, Eric, about this. This is probably my favorite episode, actually. I was, you know, when you start watching and it says 24 years before or something, you know, you think, often I think, oh God, I hate these ones where you go back in time, but it was incredible. I mean, firstly, struggled to make them all look younger, but they all kind of did look younger. That must have been an option when you're filming the front stuff to go, right, how are we going to make them look that much younger?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of tests. The guy who did our prosthetics is a guy named Brett Schmidt, and we call him Boy Genius because he might be 25 now, but he was 24 when we did this, and he took over the effects department. Yeah, he'd been doing it since he was 14 or 15 or something crazy like that. And so ton of tests because he was really, I mean, he made Giancarlo, 24 years younger. There's,
I know, incredible.
20% CGI in there. John Kilshaw, who headed up our VFX, is also, there's so much CG that you would never know is in there. That's also really brilliant. But maybe for the de-aging, 3%, 5% at most. That's part of the fun, is seeing all of them as youngsters, so to speak.
And what was nice as well, obviously, we see the bond between Roger and Leo. It's great to explain that. I mean, I think the devastating, sad scene at the end stands out for me as one of the best scenes between him and the young Hannah. I mean, what an incredible scene that was. That was the one that made me cry properly.
Oh, good. That's the idea. That's the intent. We wanted.
Yeah, she was great, that little girl. She was amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Austin's fantastic. And A, she's lovely. B, here's the shocking part. Her mother is also lovely. Right? What are the odds? She's amazing. And she and Giancarlo had a really good bond, even during the little screen test that we did with her before we started shooting. And he's also just, he's great with her.
I love the fact that really explains Hannah's journey as well, because Hannah I found the hardest to get to know for me until this episode, like the older Hannah, and then I suddenly got her from seeing the younger her.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the you know, had you watched Violet first, you would have had that information going
totally
forward.
yeah
So let's say you watched Violet first and then you watched Yellow. Some of the twists and the surprises of Yellow would not have necessarily been twists and surprises to you, but they would have been imbued with different character notions, right? So I think that's part of the fun, is being able, like you said, to now we're sort of understanding Hannah because we see where she comes from. We see what
and me say that was my favorite episode. I mean, it's really hard to pick. Quickly to all of you, Peter, have you got a favorite episode out of them all?
I mean, honestly, Violet was the most fun for me to watch because I had nothing to do with making it. So it was
so it was all brand new.
It was completely brand new, and kind of getting to see different sides of these characters that I knew so well, and you know, as time progresses. But I just, yeah, I love that one, and I also love Pink. I love how like kind of theatrical it gets in terms of design, in terms of story and dialogue, and all of it. So I would say Pink and Violet are my favorites.
Rose, I mean, this is going to be hard for you because you've not watched it.
Well, but I can text wise. I think my favorite script was Green because I really
okay,
loved
yeah.
relationship, but also I will say my favorite moment though, which I did go and watch that bit. I just wanted to see Bob in Pink having not paid for the ad-free version of the app on his phone.
Oh yes, yeah, that was brilliant. And Bubba,
my favorite's Pink for sure. For two reasons. One is Craig and Max as Taco and Samson are just brilliant. And Peter and Rose in that motel scene, I think, is my favorite scene in the entire series.
That's a fantastic scene, yeah.
So Pink is, they're all my babies. I'm not allowed to play favorites, but damn, I do love Pink. And it is the only episode that features all of our main cast.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, has at least one or two characters who are not in it. And so there's something about being able to see the chronological ends or final parts of their story, if not our story, because ours should, of course, end at White. But being able to see it for everybody that I do love.
No, Pink is great. The huge revelation about Bob with the voice thing is absolutely incredible. That scene with you, I mean, Peter and Rose, I mean, so they're together, obviously, in Pink. Are they happy? They seem to be on different. What do you think? Where do you think they are in that episode?
I think I'm obviously, I think Peter will have his own perspective on it. I think, and there's always, I don't know. I think that there's a version of events which I'm quite glad we didn't go for, and the writers didn't go for, which would have been, you know, they get their sort of happily ever after.
Yeah.
And I think actually is they, we find them grappling with the enormity of what they actually went through. And I think that the tragedy of it is that, yeah, they do end up together, but circumstances mean that in that moment, it's not right. They
yeah.
can't be happy.
Yeah,
what do you think, Peter?
I think that it's what Stan has wanted for such a long time, but I don't think that he wanted it in that way. You know, I think that the brilliance of the in the writing is that the tension that's created of like, oh God, but they're so close. It's so close to having that happy ending, and then at the end you see one person in this kind of existential choice deciding whether to go or stay. And then you see Stan kind of a bit oblivious eating taco.
I know. That's the cutest shot. The cutest shot of Stan, just so oblivious, just tucking into his favorite tacos.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're running out of time. But I'm going to get to. We'll do. I'm not going to even talk about White because I don't. We've spot. If you must have watched the series to be listening to this. But I don't want to give away the White episode, so we will leave that. But let's go to Orange and let's go to Bubba. And Bubba, I have to ask you. You have to take the quiz that the others have. So I'm going to look back at your career and see if you can remember who you played. You've done loads of stuff here, right? Let's go back to 2015 when you were in The Mysteries of Laura. Do you remember who you played?
Oh gosh, I played, I don't know his name, but he's like, has like terrible asthma and he kills his best friend with a droid.
Wow. Well, Jordan, what a character Jordan was. His name was Jordan.
Jordan, thank you.
You were in The Good Fight, one of my favorite series, 2017. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who you played in that?
Yeah, The Good Fight, I'm just in one scene. I play like an angry, sort of incel Twitter guy who says all these terrible things about women. And that is like the thing that people see all the time. I'm always getting people texting me videos of myself saying these.
Really? Balls. You were Carrie?
Yeah.
Carrie, there we go. Okay, let's pick one more and let's go for Run the World in 2021.
Oh, yeah. Run the World, I play Chad, who.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're very much known as well for being on Broadway in year two of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which I've seen in London, which is incredible. And you were playing Scorpius Malfoy. What an experience.
Oh, it was great. It was a total dream come true.
Harry Potter. Did you? You didn't get to meet the writer herself, did you?
No, I never did.
No, what a shame. Okay, so let's talk about the Orange episode that, again, your characters are kind of quite prolific in. Can I firstly say the big chief FBI boss with the blonde hair, probably the sexiest voice I've ever heard in television.
No, it's Tina Benko. She's one of my favorite actors in the world.
Yeah, what a voice she had. You would do anything she said if she was your boss.
I know. Yeah, that's somebody that I've wanted to work with forever. And I was so excited when Eric told me she was going to be in the show.
And again, for Nazan's character there, it's a big emotional episode for her, isn't it? It's a big, and your character kind of has an inward look at her life as well. You kind of are one of the only people that knows what's going on with her kids and with her recovery.
That's right. Yeah. I think Nazan and Toby are sort of, you know, an island in that office. I think you can tell from the first time we meet Toby and Horns that he's not exactly popular with his colleagues at the FBI. You know, I think he's always trying to get people to go out, but I don't know if anybody takes his invitations. I think they're sort of lifelines for each other, and they're definitely best friends in that office. Yeah.
Well, you two are just incredible in it, as are Rose and Peter together. And let's finally talk about the Red episode. This is kind of the aftermath. We start with the ear, Peter. The earring's gone. That episode, yeah, I mean, we're not going to talk about the White episode, which is where you do the heist, lots of water. But this episode, loads of water as well. And I'm guessing a lot of rain machines were needed.
Oh, my gosh. Rain machines in the middle of winter. You know, and coming inside and trying to pretend God. Like you're not just about to have hypothermia is—it's they don't teach you that in drama school. And
no, they don't actually. They should do a rain machine class in drama school. It's really hard to, and when you're freezing cold, isn't it? It is really hard to act.
Your mouth doesn't work, and then all you can think about is the warming van that's like, you know, 50 feet away, and but you know, maybe because you're not. You know, you don't have anything getting in your way that the acting is a little bit better because you're just kind of acting on survival.
and then there is a scene where you get to stand around the fire, which I'm sure all three of you love. But that for me is a great scene as well, because it's where Judy sows the doubt, the seed that Leo, it's the first time we see kind of Stan question Leo properly, really, I suppose. Again, an interesting scene to play for the three of you, that one.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Because then, you know, nobody is trusting anybody, and so much of the story has been built on these kind of alliances and the backstories that these characters have between themselves, and that felt like everything had ruptured, and everybody kind of was a potential baddie, and that was just so much fun to play.
Incredible. And also the family. I mean, Stan's family dies in this. He never finds out. So final question really to all of you. Eric's going to be the one, and I'm sure you can't reveal it, but there's lots of scope. Is there for another series?
Well, I mean, look, I've talked about this before. I think this story of these particular characters is complete, right? It is this, there, without a doubt, there is space because we have space between the episodes. So, I'm not going to put a complete cap on it. You know, you could look between green and yellow, there's 7 years to play. But I think there's potential, and there's, ongoing discussion with the powers that be, but there's a world where we take some aspects of this concept and we find a way to do it with a different story, maybe a different genre. What I would love to do is take everybody on this call and everybody in the cast and find some way to align schedules and do an American Horror Story type thing where we just
do something. Yeah,
that would be the absolute dream.
And I'm guessing Bubba, Peter, and Rose, you're all like, yes, we want to do something else together.
Well, I find it very, very interesting that the three people on this, the three actors on this podcast didn't die. At
the no, it's true.
So, famous survivor. Also, since he promised me wigs, so I'm in.
Yeah.
I pitched Eric a season 2 that's just Toby crying in his aunt's office for 8 hours. sort of an endurance piece.
I'm gonna make the official pitch now that Jordan Mendoza and I, who's a genius, have been making at Eric for the past few months, which is a Judy and Zombie. Oh my God, I've forgotten his name.
RJ.
RJ.
How dare you?
Zombie RJ.
How quickly do we forget?
Oh my God.
And then meeting up with Stan a couple years down the line and starting a language truck. I think it would be great.
Well, listen, guys.
Eric has promised me tacos, so I get over the tacos.
We need to see what happened with those tacos. Well, guys, it's been amazing to have you all on. It's an incredible series. Amazing to talk to you all. Obviously, I would guess most people listening to this have watched it. We're not going to spoil the white episode just in case you haven't. I mean, if you haven't watched it, you'll be thinking, what the hell have we been talking about for an hour? and you need to go and watch it. But guys, thanks so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to talk to you all.
Thank you so much
for having me.
It's really been fun.
How amazing to have those guys on the first episode of season 4 of Soap from the Box. It's not often you watch a Netflix show and get to interview the cast the week after. If you want to hear the unedited version with some extra content, including what episode each cast member started on, you can get the whole show by joining up for free on the Another Slice podcast player. Get yourself now over to anotherslice.com/soapfromthebox. For our launch week of season 4, there is also a full special episode with EastEnders star Jacqueline Josser. You can hear for free over on Another Slice. Here's a taste.
It was the best day of my life when I went and saw the Vic for the first time. Jake Wood took me around and I literally, number one, I was so buzzing to meet him. I was a huge fan of EastEnders in general and I loved the Brannins. I loved Bradley, I had a little crush from Bradley.
Head over to anotherslice.com/soapfromthebox to hear Jacqueline Josser right now. You can also subscribe for just a few extra quid and have access to so much more. I'll be back, same time, same place next week. Thank you for celebrating the first episode of season 4 of Soap from the Box.